CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Simon Constable in Edinburgh, Scotland. Jumper-clad Simon Constable, reporting for Forbes and Barron's and the Wall Street Journal and other distinguished publications, but right now reporting on the weather in Scotland. Why? Because of the energy shortage throughout the British Isles. There is question, large question, about how to pay for the heating for this winter upon them now. Simon, I read that Scotland is expecting freezing temperatures in these next hours and a 55-mile-per-hour wind to sweep across the peninsula towards you. That would explain your jumper, but it would not explain what Scotland is anticipating this winter. How is the heating in buildings in general? And have you heard talk of turning the heat down and weathering this? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. The heating in most Scottish buildings that I've lived in or I've worked in has been less than adequate. It means wearing a jumper or what Americans would call a sweater or two. I am at the moment wearing one because it's not that cold today. It's in the 40s, which is not particularly cold for Scotland. It's going to be going down to freezing starting tonight as we get these 55-mile-an-hour winds come in. Yes, I'm sure a lot of people in Scotland will be talking about turning the heating down, or at least not having it on as much. And many people will be talking about having an extra warm layer on, maybe thermal underwear, an extra undershirt, et cetera, et cetera, really thick socks. You get the idea. It's going to be chilly, and heating is now very expensive.
Simon, the concern is the price of natural gas, and that goes to the energy question in general. In these last days, there's been talk on the mainland, on the continent, and in Britain, especially England, that Russia will ride to the rescue. Do you find that to be accurate? Is Russia producing extra natural gas for all of Europe, not just for Scotland?
It is not producing extra gas for anyone in Europe at the moment. It has said basically no thanks. It's to do with the dispute over the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which goes from Russia into Europe and delivers the natural gas. There's a bit of a stalemate there. I don't think many European leaders want to get into a situation where there's even more reliance on Russia for our energy supplies. So I don't think Mr. Putin is going to go bare-chested on that horse again and ride to the rescue. Not going to happen.
I turn to the virus. There is great concern in London about the virus right now. The headlines are alarming. I go to the Telegraph in these last hours. Plan B of mask wearing and ban on indoor gatherings must be enforced immediately. This is from an NHS National Health Service leader. NHS Confederation chief said COVID restrictions, including a return to working from home, need to return or UK at risk of, quote, winter crisis. What is the situation in Scotland, and have you taken your masks off? Are there concerns about people gathering together?
It's very interesting, John. We hadn't actually got to a point here in Scotland of taking the masks off. It's still quite normal that when you go into a shop or a cafe or a restaurant to have your mask on, at least until you sit down. That seems to be a habit that people are not breaking, and who knows whether they ever will. It's really ingrained into society. And yes, we do have a lower infection rate than does England. England is a lot more densely populated, so that might be part of it too. The other part of it is this taking off the masks in England, not in Scotland, but in England, and that may have led to more increases in infection rates. There's also another thing here is that the UK is doing far more tests on people to find out whether they have the virus than are many other countries in the world, and therefore it might just look like we got a lot more cases when really we have tested for them and found that they are there. So it's sort of like other countries haven't really looked very hard and they decided they're okay. It's very interesting. I don't know that it's a crisis. The NHS frequently says it's in a crisis and then does very little to change. So we will see what happens there. But calling for crisis is normally a sign that the organization wants more money from the taxpayer. And I'm sure they'll be hoping for that. And I'm not sure whether they deserve it quite yet.
How are your numbers compared to England? Hospitalization, death, are they improving?
Well, I can tell our infection rate is about half what England's is. So it's about 2.3% in Scotland. It's from about 2.3 in mid-September to over 1.3% last week. And it's about double that in England. It's rising from 1.1% up to 1.6%. I realize these are very small numbers, this infection rate in terms of percentages, but we have a lot of people living in a small area. 63 million people live in the UK. And so when you get, 1% is, you know, a lot of people, and that could very easily overwhelm our National Health Service.
Life in Edinburgh, going into shops, going into pubs or restaurants, is there any change in behavior? Are people feeling more confident given the high vaccination rate, or is there still worry?
I think it depends on who you talk to. As I mentioned before, people are still wearing masks or handkerchiefs around their, you know, their nose and their mouth. And that seems to be a very normal thing now. So people are worried enough to wear a mask and worried enough to squirt their hands with sanitizer and wash them and wash their hands, you know, 10, 20 times a day. But I don't know that they're worried enough to stay home. So it's a sort of in-betweeny state. I think people who've lived through this and who will continue living through this will continue to be extra clean for the rest of their lives. They will be washing their hands religiously multiple times a day going forward from now until when they die, I think. But not a massive concern. People are still happy to go out to the pub, out to the restaurant, out to cafes, and out shopping.
We go to the economy. Christmas is gone here, and I believe that is similar in the UK. However, back to a major source of those shortages is China. And China surprised everyone with a report this week of its GDP slowing to under 5%, a shocking number given where China's been these many years. Your understanding of China, what has happened there that has changed everything and requires us to adjust our assumptions if and when there is a recovery?
Well, what's interesting about China is how much steel it generally produces and how much that steel production has declined, or declined particularly in August. One of the top 10 countries of the world that produce steel, China produces about half the world's steel, but 9 of the top 10 countries saw increases in steel production in August. China saw a double-digit decrease, 13.2% compared with a year before that. That's quite astronomical. About over half their economy is taken up by construction, which uses steel, and manufacturing, which includes cars and light trucks, and that uses a lot of steel. So when their steel production goes down, that tells you their economy is pretty weak. That 4.9%, yes, it's down from what we'd come to expect from China. But remember, Chinese statistics are aspirational. It's what they want to happen rather than what is happening. It wouldn't surprise me if the real numbers were far lower than that.
And finally, looking at the expectation for Christmas in Scotland, have people lowered their expectations about what they can do about traveling? Is there any talk like that yet, Simon?
There is no talk like that, but I think we've all become inured to the idea that the government might change its mind on a dime. And just say, oh, well, that was last week, this is this week, here are the new rules. So it's almost like every day you get up, you have to think, well, okay, the rules are this today, and I'll follow those rules today, and if they change tomorrow, then I'll deal with that. That will probably, that uncertainty which we're living with, will probably mean that people don't book holidays because they just don't want to have to cancel them or try and get a refund, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So again, uncertainty will harm the economy.
And your travels this summer, you were in the south of France, and Britain likes to travel. The British, the Scots, they like to travel a lot. I note that Heathrow is raising its fees when you pass through Heathrow. But are you planning a holiday in Portugal or the south of France over the holidays? Do you hear other people planning that? There is a new strain of the virus, Simon. It's unclear what it means, so I'm not emphasizing it. I'm just wondering about caution. We have a few seconds.
I'm not so far planning anything. I know people who are planning to get away because they want a bit more sun, and it gets rather dark and gray here in the winter. But we shall see. I think there's going to be a lot of lastminute.com books that people are going to go and say, I need a holiday now. And that'll happen at the last minute.
Simon Constable of the Wall Street Journal and Forbes and Barron's and other distinguished publications, in a chilly evening in Scotland. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.